Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bonnie Gressel, your host here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Today, I'm going to be your guest. But before we get into the show, I want to always take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate all of you taking time out of your busy day to spend time here with us at the show. I'd like to give a shout out to my listeners right here in the USA, in California. So hello, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Now, I'm excited that The Holistic Entrepreneur spans, 50-some countries now and reaches so many people everywhere. And I'm truly honored that you take the time to listen to this show, because without you, that wouldn't be possible. So I want to always let you know how much I thank you for that and how much I appreciate it, because I know that time is our most precious asset. You have plenty of other things that I'm sure you could be doing, and you choose to listen to the show, whether it's to the show when it first airs or to the recording 2 years later. It doesn't matter. I honor your time. And I always want to make sure that these shows are value-packed, because I know how important all of our time is. Now, you can always join me on the Facebook group at Entrepreneur Mastery. It's kind of a fun place to be. Lots of people in there, commenting. I post something pretty much every day. And you can find the links to all of the places where The Holistic Entrepreneur can be heard on my website, which is at bonniegressel.com. There's a page that says The Holistic Entrepreneur podcast page. And the links to all of the other directories are there. And of course, you can find them on iTunes yourself. But if you don't want to go searching for it, you can just go to that page. And I will put a link to anything that I talk about really on the show page for you today, so that it makes it easy for you. There's a free gift on my BonnieGressel.com site. And later on, I'm going to be talking about a class that I'm teaching that's coming up really soon. So I'll put the link for that on this page as well. Now, today, as I mentioned, I would like to talk about something that has kind of been coming up a lot for me and just in conversations. And I think, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. And one of the things that I think a lot of new entrepreneurs struggle with is being found. So maybe that's you. What I want to talk about today is building that online presence. So if you're a holistic entrepreneur, like a coach or a consultant, you love what you do. You know that you can help so many people, but you have trouble with people finding you, getting clients. Now, maybe they can't find you, and they don't know that you have what they want. So how do people find you? You think about that. How do they find you now? Do they know a little bit about you? Do they know how you can help them solve their problem? When I'm contacted by someone, I always like to check them out and see what I can find online, because I like to have a feel for people before I talk with them. And I get a lot of requests for guests to be on the Holistic Entrepreneur Show and also on my other podcast, but I want to know a little bit about them before we connect. So what I always do is I ask Mr. Google and see if their website comes up, which is great, because then I check that out and see what's on there and whatever else I can find. And I usually just search their name because, some people have company names, but I don't always know that or remember it. But I usually have a name that I can search for. And maybe you do that too. Now, if the only thing that comes up is their personal Facebook page or a time that they had on a 5K race 10 years ago, well, they probably don't have a great online presence, which means no one is probably finding them. Now, if your business is bringing in enough money just by word of mouth, awesome. Kudos. That's great for you. Keep doing what you're doing. But that's not typically the case. And these days, whether people, hear about you through word of mouth or not, they're still going to probably look you up online to see what they can find. Now, you want the good stuff out there, right? And you want lots of it so that they can find you. You know, I think that we need some kind of online presence. And the more, the better. Now, as long as that's good stuff, you don't want, you know, negative things out there. So be aware of what you're putting on social media, because sometimes those things get shared or it gets, you know, found by Mr. Google or any search engine. And so you always want to make sure that you're, you know, you think about what you put on social media before you put it out there. So how do people find you? You know, think about that. What is your online presence like? Some people call it your platform. You know, like published authors often try, you know, as they're trying to sell their book, are working on building their author platform. Well, it's the same for business. I want to talk with you a little bit more about the publishing, the power of publishing, and how it can help you build your platform, the credibility, and your online presence. Now, when I refer to publishing, I'm primarily talking about podcasting or publishing a book. Now, podcasting can be audio or video or both. A book can be digital, print, or audio. But today I want to focus on podcasting, because if we talk about publishing, book publishing as well, our time is going to get away on us. So today I want to focus on podcasting. Now, the first thing that people often think about when they're beginning to build an online presence isn't podcasting, obviously. It's a website. A lot of people think about that. It's a great way to have people to be able to connect with you online. So I think that a website is a good thing to have, but I don't want you to get too hung up on it being perfect or it being pretty. You know, really, there's a lot of pretty websites out there that nobody ever finds. You know, so I think to start, a simple website is that says a little bit about you and what you do, and then there's something that allows people to, you know, give you their name and email so that you can begin to build your community. It's a way to collect that. You know, nobody ever signs up for just a newsletter anymore. It needs to be something specific about their problem, how you can solve their problem. And what I've found in my experience over the years is the shorter the better. I mean, people are so busy this year, these days, that, you know, a one-page PDF or a little audio that's pretty short is going to probably get consumed much more readily than a, you know, three-page type of thing or a 20-page type of thing. So it doesn't have to be a huge deal. So I think to start just a simple website with those basic things, you know, who you are, what you do, and how you can help people, and a way to collect names and emails of people to begin building your community, your tribe, so to speak. You know, I think having that opt-in or ethical bribe on your website is essential. If you're going to have a website, it's got to have that. You know, but people don't just sign up for a newsletter anymore, like I said. So offer them something of value, something that relates to what you can do for them so they get a taste of you. Now, say you have a website. Now you're challenged with getting people to see yours, to find it, so they can see who you are and what you can do for them. You know, there are more than a billion websites on the web today. A billion with a B, right? And 300 to 500 new ones are being created every hour of every day. That's just mind-blowing. So how in that sea of websites will people find yours? Now, paying for ads is one way if you want to, you know, spend the money or have the money to spend. And if you really know what you're doing with Facebook ads and Google ads, because otherwise, if you don't really know what you're doing, you could end up just spending a lot of money and not really getting anywhere. But you can also do this organically, gaining that visibility online and getting on that first page when somebody searches for your name. Now, it goes without saying that any content that you put out there has to be good quality and something that people will want. So what I would like to do today is focus on podcasting and how that can help you with your online presence. So let's talk about that. First off, I want to address some myths or misconceptions about podcasting. This is actually what caused me to talk about this today, because I've had some conversations with people lately and I thought, really, that's what people think about podcasting? So I wanted to talk about that a little bit and dispel some of those myths. So myth number one, many people start a podcast thinking they're just going to, by starting a podcast, they're going to make money. You know, people will sponsor the show, they'll pay to be on your show, you'll do affiliate stuff, you'll monetize it in some way. They don't need to do anything else, have any other business, just a podcast, and that's going to generate money. Kind of like a website. I mean, people sometimes think that about their website. If they build a website, they will come and buy their stuff and they'll make money. And that's really a myth. That might work for a few people based on their audience, but I believe that podcasting is a tool to grow your business and therefore your income by increasing your visibility, your connections, your clients, opportunities. Online presence and platform is huge. And that will make you the money indirectly, not just from the podcast in and of itself. I believe that a podcast is not your business, but it's a tool to use in your business to create that credibility, online presence, and share your message. And it makes it easy for your ideal clients to find you. You know, as they listen to your show, they begin to know you. They begin to like and trust you. Those are those three things, right? Know, like, and trust. They believe they feel like they know you, even though you've not ever interacted with them personally. And like I said earlier, you know, talking about publishing in general here, whether it's a podcast or a book that you've published, it's what the podcast or book leads you to that makes you the money, that gets you the benefits. That's the real benefits in the opportunities, the potential ideal clients, expert status, credibility. You know, often people that I have on my show, they'll request to be a guest. And the first thing I do is, if they haven't sent me the information, which oftentimes they don't, I'll look them up on the internet. I'll do a Google search. And you know what? Sometimes the first thing I find is their Facebook page. Sometimes they have a website, sometimes not. If I have a guest on the show, sometimes I'll search previous guests that I've had on the show, and I'll just put their name in a search engine. And you know what comes up is them being a guest on my show. So even if you're a guest on somebody else's show, you don't want to do your own podcast, it still increases your visibility online. It still builds that online presence in that platform. Now, the other thing, another myth that I think people have, is that creating a podcast takes a lot of time. And, well, you could spend a bunch of time on it, just like you can take 10 years to write a book if you want to, but you don't have to. You know, everyone is so busy and there's so much to do. People often think that the show needs to be really frequent, has to be an hour long, just like the old-time radio stuff, right? Well, shows can be any length. And in this busy time in our lives, I think shorter is better. Most of my students in the last Expand Your Reach with Podcasting class, masterclass, had podcasts that varied between 5 and 15 minutes. That was it. They didn't do hour podcasts. And with the right strategy, you can batch your recordings together and save even more time. Now, you want, the more you have out there, I think the better it is. But it's different than, you know, rather than like throwing a bunch of spaghetti at the wall and hoping something sticks, there has to be quality content. And there needs to be a strategic plan with specific action steps. Because I do believe that podcasting is a great way to have that visibility online. But whether you use podcasting or, you know, video stuff or Facebook Live or whatever you use, there has to be that strategy with it. And so that's one of the things that I teach in the class that I do. Now, again, as I mentioned before, it's the quality, not the quantity. So think about that. In terms of length of show, an hour show, you know, podcast, or a 15-minute podcast, would you rather listen to somebody ramble on about something before they finally get to the point? Or would you rather get that information in a concise, accurate, quality way? You know, everyone is busy these days. And so I think there's great value in doing shorter podcasts, shorter everything, really. You know, shorter freedom reports and those kinds of things. And the more directories, that you have your show on, the better it is. You know, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, I mean, the list goes on, Podbean. I mean, you can be on a bazillion of them. The more you're out there, the better. It will give you more real estate on the web. But another myth, this is myth number three, is that it's difficult to do that, and it takes a lot of work. Now, there are ways and tools to have your podcast RSS feed to be sent to numerous directories without any work at all. Once you set it up, it just goes out there every week or however often you do your podcast. So it doesn't have to be a lot of work. You know, someone I was talking with the other day thought that they would have to create their own RSS feed, send it out all these different separate directories every time they did a show, and then send out all their posts and their tweets and all their, you know, social media stuff. But with the right tools, all these things can be done in one step. That's it. It's amazing. You have to know the shortcuts to save the time, but it can be done. Now, if you do video podcasts as well as audio, you can record it as a video, and there's a way to separate that from the audio. You can have it both on iTunes and on YouTube. Then you're doubling your exposure. There's so many ways to slice this. So the last myth I want to talk with you about is that people think it costs a lot of money. Well, it must cost a lot of money for the recording equipment and editing software and a microphone and all the things they need to do. Aside from dealing with technology and how hard it is to do, they think, oh my God, it's going to take a lot of money to do this. Well, really, it really doesn't. I mean, you can spend hundreds or thousands probably of dollars on that if you want to. But, and this is the free report that I have on my website at BonnieGressel.com. It's the 5 tools that you need to launch a professional podcast, not a, you know, crappy podcast, but a professional one for under $50, less than $50. That's really all you need. There are so many things out there. You just have to know which things to use and what to find. And that's why I created that free report, because I wanted to dispel that myth that it takes a lot of money to start this venture, and it really doesn't. So now that we've addressed all the myths, or at least the ones that I hear from people, I'm sure that there are many more, but those are the common ones that I hear from people. Let's talk about how podcasting can build your online presence, how it can give you that visibility when somebody searches for your name. I did a little experiment before I wanted to put together the show today, and I went online and I put in the names of some of my students from my previous class and just put the word podcast after it, and all of them come up on the first page. Many of them come up just with the name without the word podcast on it on the first page as well, and they probably didn't before. So it does really make a difference. Now, whether you publish in some other way, like you're an author or whatever, I mean, there are ways around that too, but with all these things, with everything, there is a strategy. I mean, you have to know how to do it, but once you know how to do it, it's like, oh my goodness, I can really make it easy for my ideal clients to find me. So, as I mentioned earlier a couple of times, it needs to be quality stuff, because whether it's a book or a podcast or whatever you're doing, people can tell if it's kind of junky, right? If it's not good value. So that's really paramount. I think that's the base that you have to start with, is it has to be quality stuff. Whether you do a podcast as a solo podcast, like I am doing today, or have an interview with a guest, like I do on most of these shows, it always has to go back to that quality piece, and it has to be something valuable for your audience. Now, there are some choice points along the way. Say you want to start a podcast, or you want to get into podcasting in some way. One of the choice points is, do you want your own, or do you want to sort of go on the virtual circuit and be a guest on other people's shows and use their audience, their platform, to improve yours? Like I said earlier in the show, if I Googled one of my previous guest's name, very often when their name comes up, it's because they were on my podcast. So there's benefit in both. So either way you choose to do it. Now, if you do choose to do your own podcast, which I think is great, I love podcasting, as you can probably kind of tell, but there's a decision point on, do you want to do solo shows, or do you want to interview guests, or do you want to do both? I kind of like to do both. You know, most of the time on the Holistic Entrepreneur, I have guests. And every now and then, like today, I do a show on my own, so a solo show. On the Gift of Choice show, which is my other podcast, most of the podcasts are solo, and every now and then I'll have a guest. So it just depends on what you want to do. If you are going to do a podcast of your own, you have the choice of recording audio, recording video, or recording both, and separating them out and putting them into different spheres of the internet. And then how long do you want your show to be? You know, do you want it to be, you know, half an hour like this one is? Do you want it to be 5 minutes like many of them are? It really doesn't matter. I know a lot of people. I was just listening to Amy Porterfield earlier today, and her shows are still an hour. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just depends on what you want to do. It's a choice point. And then think about the frequency. You know, it's not so much how often you do a show, but it's the consistency that's important. So say you decide to do a show once a week. Make sure you do that show once a week. If you decide to do a show once a month, do it once a month. Or you can always do it more, but don't do it less. That's kind of the rule that I follow. Some people start off right out of the gate doing daily shows. To me, I think they're crazy because it's a lot of work to do a daily show. Oh my goodness. So I think to me, two shows a week, once a week, which is two times a week, basically for me, is fine. It's just perfect. So those are some choice points to just sort of think about before you venture into the podcasting sphere. And then make it easy for yourself. People often make things too hard for themselves. We do this to ourselves all the time. So make it easy for yourself and provide value. We all have so much valuable content. Oh my goodness. It may not seem valuable to us because it's just common sense to us, right? We know it. We know what we're talking about. But there are so many people that could be helped by the message that you have to share. And then this is really key. And this is where it comes into one of the pieces where it comes into the how this benefits you monetarily. Always have a call to action. A way for people to connect with you, a link on the show page that goes to some, you know, freebie that you have so that you can begin to build a community, begin to build that tribe of people who want your stuff, right? Who know to build that know, like, and trust. Once you have them on your email list, then it's that nurturing of that relationship. But if they never get to the email list, you don't have the opportunity to nurture that relationship. And so that's why I always say to have a call to action. Now, it might be something that you're selling, you know, but most of the time, it should be something that you're giving away for free. It's kind of like the Facebook page rules. 80% of the time, you're social, and then 20% of the time, you're business. And so if you use podcasting and you want to grow your visibility and your business with that, I would say 80% of the time should be freebies that you're, you know, just giving people aside from the value of your podcast itself. And then 20% of the time you can be promoting something that you're selling. Like the link that I have on the show page today is that 20% because I have a class coming up soon. And so the link is to the page that talks about that class. Now, some people ask for, you know, rating and reviews and iTunes to follow on Facebook as their call to action. That's fine. I wouldn't limit it just to that because really, ratings and reviews on iTunes, you know, are not as valuable, I don't think, as everyone thinks they are or thought they were. And to follow on your Facebook page, Facebook has really, I mean, unless you pay for ads, people aren't seeing what is on your page most of the time anyway. The percentage is really, really small. So I don't think that type of call to action is as valuable. As an example, I always put my Facebook page link on here for Entrepreneur Mastery, but it's not the only thing that I do. I try to do something else. And then apply to as many directories as you can. You know, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Podbean. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's not as difficult to get on TuneIn Radio as it used to be years ago. It's not as difficult to get on iHeartRadio as it was 6 months ago. So all of those formats have really opened up for everyone. So I would encourage you to do that. And then use social media to promote your shows. You know, you can put your show on your website, certainly, but also those other directories. But using social media to promote them. And then if you are a person who does guest interviews, as an example, ask them to promote the show too, because they're getting free exposure by being on your show. So there's ways that you can do that. Now, there are secrets to my show descriptions, listings, YouTube descriptions, and how to get the most engagement from your show, which is how, probably by accident, I guess, I got to, you know, more than 50 countries and a million listens in 2 years, was all through organic traffic. I didn't buy Facebook ads. I didn't promote in that way. So it can be done. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, and to dispel some of those myths. And, you know, I'm always willing to connect with anyone. You can always, you know, contact me on my website for a free discovery call or strategy call if you have questions, or you're just trying to find what the best fit is for you to expand your reach and to get out there in the internet space. Because even if people find you primarily by word of mouth, they're still going to look you up online. That's just the way it is. It's the life that it's the day that we live in, the day and age that we live in, because it's so accessible to everyone. And if they're not by their computer, they've got their smartphone that they can look it up on. So because people are looking for you anyway, and they're seeing what's out there, you want to make sure the stuff that's out there that they find is there, number one, and easy for them to find, and is good stuff. So you want the positive things out there. I have found such a value over the years in, you know, that online presence. I never really thought about it because I didn't really plan for it to happen that way. But like I said, it doesn't have to be, you know, buying ads and stuff like that. It can be organically, and that's how I did it. So it is possible. Now, if you are interested in knowing more about the class that I mentioned a couple times during the show today, it's called Expand Your Reach with Podcasting. It's a masterclass that's 4 weeks long. And there are three times a week that we meet, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday and Wednesday, there's content. And everything's recorded, by the way, so if you don't make it live, no worries. And then on Friday, we have a laser coaching call. And then there's a private Facebook community in which I'm very active. And there's some other bonuses and things. If you're interested in knowing more about that or hearing some of the specifics and or reading what some of my students, previous students have said, just go to the link at the bottom of the show page, Expand Your Reach with Podcasting, and it should be hyperlinked for you, so it shouldn't be hard to find. And one of the things that I always encourage people to do is that if they have questions or they just want to meet me first. I mean, I'm that kind of person, right? I'd like to know who I'm thinking about working with. So I want to meet them first. So I always encourage people to just, you know, click that little box that says, you know, set up a time to chat with Bonnie, because I want you to feel comfortable in whatever you do, whether you do this or something else. I would hope that most people give you that opportunity to actually interact with them. We can do that on Zoom or on Skype or on the phone or whatever. But it's kind of nice to have that personal connection. So I really encourage you to take advantage of that if you are at all interested, have questions, or even you're not interested, but you have some questions about your online visibility and how you can grow that. There are other ways. Podcasting is really just one way that you can do that. So I'm always happy to talk with people about expanding their reach, growing their business, living their dream. I mean, that's kind of what I'm all about these days. So I want to offer that to you. And there's obviously no obligation, no cost for it or anything like that. But I always want to meet new people. And the other thing is, if you are interested in, you know, being a guest on my podcast, either on The Gift of Choice or The Holistic Entrepreneur, I always welcome people to reach out to me for that as well. So having said all of those things today, and thank you for listening, and thank you for taking your time, I want to bid you all farewell for a week. We'll see you next week. And I have a wonderful guest. Oh my God, I'm so excited to have him on the show next week. Adam Hudson is going to be with us next week, and it's going to be a really fun time. So until next time, share your message, everyone. You have a message to share, and somebody needs it. No one in the whole world does what you do in the way you do it. Blessings.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.